system. I find you in the shows and moving are great. And being a nerd, the sign system is everywhere you go.
Ha ha. Welcome.
Ha ha ha.
That's the jingle, dude. It's the a quick little ha ha.
Ho ho.
How are you? How are you, PJ?
Having the best day of my life, Davey. How about you?
I love it. You know, having the second best day of my life.
What was the first best day of your life?
I do not have the answer.
Okay.
I cannot say the answer.
It was that good.
It could be any number of things, you know. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know what wives are listening. So.
Oh, I see. I was going to say it literally cannot be because there's only one day, so it can't be many things. But you know what? I'm just going to be quiet, and we're going to talk about something design system related.
Yeah, we're going to talk about T models and the different makeups of design system teams. And this goes back all the way to, I believe, 2015, when Nathan Curtis wrote an article on Medium about team models and more towards the effect of centralized teams, which you might have heard a bit about, or federated teams and hybrid teams. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that and also how we've seen teams, design system teams evolve. This is specifically intriguing for me since, PJ, you're a product manager, product owner of a design system, correct?
Yeah. I mean, technically I'm a designer, but I am doing design manager-y things on a day-to-day.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how your role is that is unique in terms of like the product ownership portion.
So, you know, there's most design systems, there's a ton of work to coordinate. There's a ton to prioritize. And, you know, like a lot of design systems teams, you are having to really showcase the value that you bring on a day-to-day, if not a month by month basis. And so that is a lot of the work that I do. I'm trying to set a direction for our design systems initiative at Pinterest, trying to prioritize the work to have the best, to bring the best value for the company, for both design engineering orgs in terms of their velocity, but also just product quality. And then I'm doing my damnedest to showcase the value and quantify it as much as I possibly can to leadership to show that their investment is worth it and that they should invest more. And so that is my day to day, just making sure we're working on the right things at the right time with the right people on a week by week basis.
I love it. I did similar things as a design manager when I was at Disney Streaming, mainly trafficking work, making sure that we have not only myself as a manager, but leads on the design system teams plugged in cross-functionally. A very unique portion, I believe, in our jobs was we do a bit of program management, and there is specific design program management roles that exist in both of our companies and at Disney Streaming and at Meta. And there is a little bit of overlap between that. But as a product owner, I believe specifically for a team that has matured with us in it, we definitely have the best pulse onto what the business and customer needs are. But then also what can be achievable from our design partners and our engineering partners. And going to the federated versus centralized conversation, at Disney, we were neither of those at first. We were very much part-timers, right? We were part-timers maintaining libraries, creating patterns. And unfortunately, as many design system teams start, we were very much, I don't want to say it's almost like a volunteer firefighter sort of role, where we wanted to get this thing off the ground. We wanted to get buy-in. We have buy-in, but we don't have an official team. And at any point we could get plucked and get moved on to the next thing, which at Disney happened, I would say, annually. We would get plucked and go work on the other thing. Then we would come back to the system. So the benefit of how we had it there was we did have the autonomy to come back to the system. We didn't leave the library hanging. We always made sure that we had a constant presence in the artifacts and with the people. But then over time, we were able to mature and build our own design system team that included myself as a manager, a few leads, a few other individual contributors. But it was still a medium sized team. And I do want to caveat, we did not have engineering resources at that point. No dedicated engineering resources. PJ, how is the makeup of your team right now?
We are at this point a fully centralized team that includes both design and engineering. Our goal is to add mobile engineers in as soon as possible. So based off of that, we haven't built out any mobile components to date and have tried to hold off on a federated model due to the logistical challenges that brings. The mantra that just came in my head was hope for hybrid, plan for centralized. At least in my experience, coordinating different teams with different agendas and incentives and goals is a challenge. And so the thing that's resonated the most with our team is really, as much as possible, committing to work that we can do and building out a team to do the work that we need to do and rely on outside contributions as little as possible. Not that those aren't great, but they add a level of complexity and uncertainty that we just want to be cautious about relying on. And so we are working on a contribution model. We would like to move towards some level of hybrid where contributions are coming in, but we have to be really careful about how we do this and make sure that the incentives and the expectations across the orgs set everyone up for success that we can rely on that model to work for, you know, sustainably in the long term.
Yeah, the getting to centralized, I believe, was a very important thing. And the quicker that you can get to a centralized model, even if you have a cross-functional team of 2 to 3, I think we'll build the use case for going federated or hybrid or more horizontal in the future, because you're going to have a better idea of what the constraints are across components. And one thing that came on Design Twitter yesterday, by the time you hear this, it might be a few weeks old. Jan Thoman and I were having a conversation with, I think, one of the heads of product on Figma. And when we're talking about design system teams and, you know, success or failure, and he said, more often than not, I see that there's a dedicated designer in the design org approved by design leadership separately, but no dedicated engineering support due to lack of company leadership. And that was what we dealt with at Disney for a bit. Like, we had a design system capital D team, but we did not have the engineering counterparts on that. So much like when we were federated, engineers would get pulled left and right. So there's a little continuity. Also, volunteer firemen, firewomen, they would come in, they would help us build components, and then they would really just try to get as far as they can, but then they might have to bail on it. And that's improved due to, you know, leadership supporting the model of a centralized team. So that's changed, and there's dedicated engineering now for design systems at Disney. But coming to Meta, it's been, I would say, night and day in terms of the team models, because now I think, very similar to you, PJ, we have dedicated engineers on our team. So we'd be able to not only build what we need to for our different product teams, but we could very easily estimate how long that would take to build and build it. So we were controllers of our own destiny in terms of what we get out half to half. And it's a very powerful, I would say, thing, that to have a cross-functional team and be able to sometimes I like to say cross party lines when we're cross functionally and on the same team, we are more in lockstep than, you know, we have been in the past.
Yeah, I think if you're going to have a, if you're going to lean on a federated model, in my head at least, I think there has, might want to explore more program management resources, people that are constantly checking in with teams and then getting ahead of that planning cycle to ensure that teams have these goals on, you know, they've committed to it in writing as opposed to sure, we'll do it. Cause that though the sure we'll do it's tend to drop off a cliff as soon as things need to fall off in terms of priorities. The bigger challenge in my view is not the making the things. That's actually, from my point of view, the easy part. The tough part comes in who's going to maintain those things. So X team commits to building it. Maybe they don't take into consideration request, you know, bugs or requests to adjust or education on how to use it, supporting it. The long, never-ending maintenance of building that thing. And I think that's where folks really start to turn tail because, hey, we committed to make this thing. We didn't commit to owning it in perpetuity. And to me, that's the risk of a hybrid model. If you're really, or more of a federated model, if you're relying on feature teams to prop this up, are those feature teams ready to commit to keep those things up to date forever, theoretically? And so that's a big part of our work. We want to make sure that when we make something, we have given it the full commitment. So there's a level of trust in the system. And the way that we've come to be able to say, yes, we absolutely can commit to this is by owning it. And so that to me has been the biggest challenge around federated versus hybrid versus centralized. It's not so much the building, but it's more about the maintaining and keeping up to date.
Yeah. And we had a little bit of a sort of pre-conversation about our teams and how we're made up. My team right now is fully business driven. So it's all monetization all the time. At Disney, it was both. And at Pinterest, it's also both consumer facing and business facing, enterprise facing. And one thing that came to mind when we were at Disney in terms of resourcing was most of our team was focused on consumer facing products. So that's Disney Plus, Hulu, Star Plus, and enterprise did need help too. That's PJ's, you know, old team from many moons ago. So we had an idea of having someone from our team help them try to get them off the ground, embed with them for some amount of time. So we were looking to see, audit all of their components and audit and see which ones can we leverage from the consumer facing libraries over to enterprise. And then this person would work cross-functionally with our same set of engineers, maybe some dedicated engineers on the enterprise team. And then once they get off the ground, hopefully when the enterprise system would have been stood up, then they would be able to continue to maintain it on their own. So that's somewhat of a, you know, as what we would call it, maybe a product system. But the same thing applies. Your same concern is like the continual maintenance of this thing. What if this person comes and sits with this team for 6 months? In month seven, shit just going to hit the fan and they're just going to not build in this certain manner? Or is there going to be a team that's going to be able to continue to maintain this in perpetuity, like you said?
Yeah. Yeah. And what happens when a reorg hits and that ownership of components or patterns doesn't quite fall within the domain of that team? And let's say it falls within another team and that team's like, we didn't sign up for this. It's those like those details, those operational, like gobbledygook minutia, which I think is where a federated approach runs into some challenges. And or even each team is going to probably hyper-optimize their components for their specific feature. How much are they taking other features into account, if at all? If they're not, if other teams aren't supposed to use other features components, how do they know not to do it? What's the governance for that? There's a lot of complexity that comes with that kind of model. And if there's one thing that I lean heavily on nowadays is keeping things as simple as possible, just because I ain't a smart person, and the simpler something is, the easier I can keep my head wrapped around it. And when I look at a federated model, when I look at a hybrid, even a hybrid model, I see a lot of complexity. I see a lot of moving pieces, and I see a lot of opportunities for things to break down. Not that they can't break down in the centralized model. They can in their own special little ways, but it's a simpler formula in my head. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but in my head, it's a simpler formula to be able to say, this is the team that's committed to do the things. And based off of that, this is what we can get done.
There's a sticking point in terms of platform, right? So you mentioned that you're primarily focused on web right now. Mobile needs a little more dedicated support. On Geodesic, the business design system that I'm working on, similar. Web was where most of the people are doing transacting and communicating with customers. So that was the first thing, but mobile needs some love. In terms of design system expertise for product designers, what do you think about designers specifically working on singular platforms versus multiple platforms?
It's a good question. I don't know if I have a super strong answer. If it's something as close as iOS and Android, if it's a handset, I'd say, hey, you can do that. No sweat. That's, you know, I'm speaking in broad strokes here, but man, at Disney streaming, the platforms were anywhere from like a smart TV that had a potato for a processor. Designing for that was very different than say an iPad or an iPhone. I think the more distance there is in the platform in terms of design paradigms and business needs, I think that's when I think there's a strong case to have specific designers really calling the shots, or at least driving the overall direction point of view of how you design for a platform. So for us, we actually have someone that's focusing primarily on mobile. We have someone focused primarily on desktop web with an emphasis on business, because desktop web is really the monetization/businesses. That's their sweet spot. That's their home. But it's because, you know, at the end of the day, while there are differences between Android and iOS, it's nothing that we don't feel we can't overcome. We can't learn those differences and work through it with a singular designer. But if Pinterest was on an Xbox, probably not. We'd probably have to have another designer focused on the 10-foot experience or whatever we want to call that thing.
Yeah, this goes back to the T-shape, right? So I was very much T-shaped for desktop web, responsive web. But I was familiar with all the platforms. And I think that's a great way to think about it, having one platform that you may be more familiar in, and then having other designers on the team. So let's say you have iOS, or let's say you have a handset and desktop web. It'd be great if you had one designer that was familiar with mobile, but an expert on web. Vice versa, you'd have a mobile designer that is familiar with mobile, but less familiar with web. And then those two could collaborate amongst each other and build off of their knowledge.
I would argue it's necessary, specifically because if you have all the domain expertise on one person, you have created a colossal single point of failure. And if that person gets sick or decides to move on or switches teams, you have lost everything. And so it's in everyone's best interest to spread that expertise as much as possible, as long as I believe that there should be a person as much as possible really driving the direction and making the decisions if and when they're necessary. But there's also burnout. If you put everything on one person, that's a lot at baseline. But if work surges and it's all on one person, there's no way to distribute that work. That's not awesome. It also means that they theoretically have to handle all the tedious work as well, if it's all in their head. And so we are a big believer in distributing the knowledge as much as possible while still having someone, you know, at the end of the day, if someone has to, if a call has to be made, they're the person to make that call. But that's a big part of our ethos as a team. It's shared within engineers. We have extremely multidisciplinary engineers. I'd argue our best copy editor is one of the engineers on the team. So it really is a cross-discipline team, and that gives us an immense amount of latitude on a sprint-to-sprint basis as to who does the work and when. And if someone goes on vacation, no sweat, because someone else can pick up the slack. And we're just lucky to have a bunch of team members that enjoy working that way and are comfortable working that way.
Now, this is an extremely fun thing to think about as a design manager or former design manager, lead, whatever my role is today or tomorrow. But in terms of the different facets of the design system, because the system is a system of things, multiple things, accessibility guidelines, documentation, libraries, coded components, community, education. Do you feel when you're looking at bringing team members on to have specific folks focus on each one of these, or is it merely a shared responsibility across the entire team?
Ideally, there'd be someone that owns the decision-making process that really drives the thinking. So an example of that is our Figma library. Who is the person thinking about that and driving our point of view? And then I'll be the one that I'll like, sure, just tell me what to do. tell me how to make these library components, and I'll muddle through auto layout as best I can to do it. But what is our direction that we're heading with our Figma libraries? And sometimes that's shared, but I think it'd be great if someone was just really driving the direction, and then the team comes together, rallies around it, and then we have a shared point of view that we're moving together with. It's hard to do though when you have a gazillion things you need to work on and five people to do it. So I think I'd be interested to hear how other teams operate. My guess is people are spread thin because typically systems just have a lot of touch points that you have to address. But ideally, if the fountains flowed with budget, we would have, you know, all the team members necessary to really drive each touch point of the system and the direction that we're heading.
Yeah. So if you're still listening to this, which we hope that you are, our hundreds of thousands of people that we've retained, you might be thinking, so how many people do we need to execute this vision, right? Like we talked about design system product owners, which is a nice to have. But a design system product owner or design manager would be preferable. That would be good. Product designers that could span across platforms. We mentioned that. So a few of those. But then now how do we slice and dice adding more product designers to then focus on specific disciplines? So possibly a component expert, like a Figma expert or a documentation expert or a content writer. If you add all of those numbers up that we mentioned, that's a team of 10, which is a medium size team, but may not be achievable for everyone, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I say that statement and then I just think about all the things that need to get done. And realistically, I almost want to retract that, where it's almost like you need a person to have a subset of expertise. So web and accessibility, mobile and visual design. Like I'm just, but like realistically, given all the things, unless listener, your budget is much, much, much larger than the budget I'm working with, chances are you probably won't have one person to focus in on each touch point. And that doesn't even get into engineering, which is the other facet, because there's all these different areas of expertise needed for engineering as well. So then there's content design. Then there's research. There's all sorts of things that you can expand into, and it's daunting.
And so if you were getting started today, or at a Series A startup where we've got buy-in from the design founders, this may sound familiar, design-led founders of this startup, and we want to build a cross-functional team and start with the proper design system in place. How many people do you think we need on this team? Is it 2 people? 3 people?
How many customers you got? How many designers and engineers are you supporting? I think that's a big one, right?
Let's say that there's a handful of product designers in total.
Okay, so 5. How many engineers?
Say 20.
How many platforms? Mobile being iOS and Android?
Web and mobile.
Okay, so first off, would you have more than 20 engineers? All right, you know what? Never mind. I'm just going to take it. Okay, all right.
15 to 20. 15 to 20. 3 to 1, 4 to 1.
So ideally in my head, and I don't think this would make sense for this case, ideally in my head, I would want 2 engineers per platform. Specifically so that there was someone to work with to code review and to just a gut check, because, Lord knows if you have the opportunity to update something that's going to make it across all of production, you have the chance to break all of production. And so it'd be great to make sure there's a couple other eyeballs. If you have 6 engineers and on your team and 20 engineers total, that is that's 1 to 3, 1 to 3.5 ratio, which is going to be a hard sell. Because think about how much of a productivity boost each one of those engineers would need to make in order to offset the costs associated with those engineers working on the design system. So that's a tough thing. Is does it even make sense to have a design system at that scale? Because are you going to return at that? At that level, if you're at 200, I think it's a complete 200. If you're supporting 200 engineers, I think it's a completely different pitch. But if you are just trying to make the case of by investing in design systems, we will make you money by the productivity gains within design and engineering, that's going to be tougher sell on the surface. From my experience, a lot of caveats. But if, product quality, product consistency, comprehension, things of that nature, there's still value there. But typically the language of love I've tried to speak is just cold, hard cash. And we're going to make you money by doing this. I don't know. I've talked a lot. What about you? What do you think?
I was thinking much leaner, like a team of 5.
Yeah.
Or less. So there'd be a very high level, design IC, another senior or mid-level designer, and then 1 engineer per platform.
Yeah.
And see where we could get from there and federate the rest of the engineering engagements. And I think the biggest win to get off the ground is getting an engineer on the team as quick as possible, because they're going to be able to not only go to bat for you, but then also snuff out bullshit that you see, and then not only your own bullshit, but across other product designers. So
totally. I think you could probably get help with code reviews from if it's that small of a team. So yeah, I dig that. So 3 engineers and then you could probably even get away with 1. If they're a senior designer, you could probably get away with 1 designer supporting 5 other designers. I think you definitely could personally. So pretty small. And then you just, you know, maybe the manager acts as the product owner. Someone that's a little, with a little bit of distance to the, from the problems. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the, yeah, obviously like the content designer, program management, all that stuff you could layer. There's a lot of other disciplines you could layer on. Motion is another one that we haven't talked as much about, but I think you could start extremely lean. It's really just about getting dedicated resourcing to do this full time and to be able to, like you said, own it in perpetuity. So designers would, you created this, it's yours now, whether it's the, it is the community's, the, but you'll be on the hook for making updates for this thing.
Nice. We solved it. We did it.
We solved it. Just a team of five. There we go.
And, or you got a couple of design technologists and that changes it altogether. Cause if the designers can build it out, then all of a sudden you may be able to slim it down even more.
That's the answer. Or a team of 10 or a team of 20. It really depends on what works for you, but
yeah.
Yeah. I think the biggest takeaway is trying to get away from the design only design system team, as fast as you can. Once you get the buy-in and once you can get dedicated engineering resources, I believe like, when I heard about your team makeup, PJ, I always thought that was something that I would want to strive to. So having it all in one cross-functionally, is a great benefit for all of us.
It makes it a hell of a lot easier. I'll say that. When we say we're going to do something, we do it because we know we can do it. And it not that it's impossible to do it the other way. It just requires a lot more coordination and logistics. So yeah, I'm a big fan.
Well, this is a great topic. We could talk about this again and follow back up with this as our teams change. But thank you so much, PJ, and have a good one.
You too.